Good morning. John, thank you for making me feel as old as I am. Mr. Lachlan, I don't think I've been referred to that in a long time. But that ties into the message. All things work together for good. Well, we're three messages and three chapters into our look into the life of Job. And although we're not looking at Job's life this morning, this message directly bears on our understanding of his suffering. Back in the days before cell phones, computers, area codes, and even zip codes, I was reading through the New Testament and read our text for this morning in Apostle Paul's letter to the Roman believers. I don't remember exactly why, but it was at that particular moment I decided Romans 8:28 would be my life verse. The Lord's promise in those verses, as well as other scriptures, has brought comfort and encouragement to me throughout my life. So today, with the opportunity I have to share with you, I want to share some insights and personal thoughts from this slice of pie, as it were, from God's Word. So, here's the passage. And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are the called according to His purpose. For whom He foreknew, He also predestined to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He, that is Jesus, might be the firstborn among many brethren. Let's pray. Father, You know this passage has been so important to me throughout my life, and I'm sure it's been important to many others that are here this morning as well. We thank You for Your Word, and that we can trust it and lean on it, because it's Your Word. So we're really leaning on You, and we're trusting You. Pray that the few thoughts that I share this morning will communicate just how important it is to trust You in all things. We thank You for these promises. We thank You for Your presence in our life as Your children. Use this time to bring honor and glory to Yourself. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. According to His purpose informs us that God has a purpose for you and me. Beyond just the overarching purpose for all believers that we're to glorify God, I believe God created you and me with a purpose in mind. Rather than just deal with Adam's sin by starting all over again, God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. God provided a way through His Son, Jesus Christ, and His Son's death, burial, and resurrection. God's purpose could be worked out in the lives of those who receive the free gift of eternal life. And it is a free gift, and it came because of what Christ did on the cross for us. Earlier in this chapter, chapter 8 of Romans, Paul assured the Roman believers that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. Paul reminds these believers that their salvation is ultimately focused on eternity and a promised glory which shall be theirs. When Paul wrote to the believers in Corinth, another letter, to dispel their doubts about the reality of the resurrection, he assured them that not only was the resurrection historical, but it was also foundational to their salvation, and it was also the dynamic of that resurrection that was such that they would have glorious resurrection bodies in heaven. The future glory that Paul talked about in verse 18 of this chapter is interwoven as a key hope for believers in contrast to the brokenness and the suffering we experience during our lives here and now. Such glory is not ambiguous, nor is it vague. Paul connects that glory to God's purpose for believers with the person of our Savior, Jesus Christ. So God's purpose for you is stated in verse 29, to be conformed to the image of His Son. Now, there's something about this I don't want you to miss. This verse is not a command to you or me as believers. God is not saying, you be conformed to the image of Jesus. Rather, this is an assurance, a guarantee. If you've put your faith in Christ as your Savior, You are being conformed to the image of Jesus because God's the one doing it. The word conform that Paul uses in verse 29 means to render like, to bring to the same form. It's a word that's only used two times in the New Testament. Both times it speaks about being made glorious like Jesus. The word that Paul uses for image means likeness, representing the essence, the character, and the personhood. Taken together, these words speak of a representation which reflects the original. Think of a marble sculptor. He has an image in mind he wants to conform this big, huge block of marble to. So he chips away at it and works away at it until that happens. He uses just the right tools for the task. Most of us have not seen a sculptor of marble at work. At least I know I haven't. But perhaps you've seen somebody create a sculpture from a big block of ice. A number of years ago, my wife Chris and I traveled to Alaska and cruised the Inside Passage. Each day at the entrances of the ship's dining areas, beautiful, intricate ice sculptures were there to greet us. Near the conclusion of the cruise, we were invited to watch a demonstration of just how those ice sculptures came into being. Along with other passengers, we were amazed as the ice sculptors took huge blocks of ice and with large chippers at first, then smaller ones later, they chopped away at and chipped away at those ice blocks until some time had passed. Discernible shapes began to emerge. We were encouraged, hey, can you figure out what it is that they're going to make when they're done? The only ones that really knew that in advance were the ones that were doing the chipping, the ice sculptors themselves. And we just couldn't wait to see what happened when they got done. Well, you are not a chunk of ice. Amen? Yeah, amen. But you are precious to God. But your heavenly Father does work to chip away at and work away at with you to conform you to the image of his Son. Well, just what is that? What is it to be conformed to Jesus? Is it just to be conformed to his glorious resurrected body in eternity? Or are there right here and now aspects about being conformed to the image of Jesus? Paul's addressing these believers' concerns about their present suffering, and he speaks of all things in verse 28, that indeed there is something about the image of Jesus which our loving Father is conforming us to even now. And what that something is relates to the character of Christ. So how did Christ characterize himself while he ministered on this earth? Our Lord spoke of his purpose and character one time while interacting with his disciples. Mark's gospel records it for us. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many. So what was Christ's purpose? To minister, to serve, to give, wrap it up all in one word, servanthood. It's so easy to get caught up in our lives, forget about others, to think only of our own stuff, and to care about only our own needs. But God, who cuts cross-grain to our culture, wants us to be conformed to the image of his Son and be like a servant. Consider this too. The only time Jesus described his own temperament, he referred to himself as gentle and lowly in heart. That word gentle has the sense of thoughtful and considerate, while lowly in heart is another way of saying humble. That's the description of a servant. When Paul exhorted believers in Philippi to have the same mind as Christ, he used these words to describe Jesus. He made himself of no reputation. He took on the form of a bondservant. He humbled himself. He became obedient. I said earlier that conforming believers to the image of Jesus, that this was God's work in and through us. He will complete it, and we will be glorious in eternity. Yet there's a sense that as God does his work in us here and now, we're to respond to it. And our response to his work determines other aspects of our eternal experience. One way to measure just how well you are responding is through honest, transparent accountability with other believers. Would your brother or sister in Christ describe you as a person with a servant's heart, or say that you are humble and kind? This is why here at Northwest, you are encouraged to enter into genuine mask-off community with other believers through deepening friendships, care groups, ABFs, and other means of fellowship. So that's one way to work at that. Perhaps you wonder, though, about what the earthly benefits are if you do respond to God's work in your life here and now. You wonder, if I really surrender myself to be a servant as Jesus was a servant, if I allow God to do what he wants in my life, will everything work out here and now? Well, there's this incredible true story of an Australian bricklayer who volunteered to rebuild a church's brick steeple, which had been blown down during a hurricane. And he wrote a letter to his employer, and he describes in that letter what happened to him. So I'm just going to read it to you. When I arrived at the building, I discovered the hurricane had blown a number of bricks from around the top of the steeple. So I rigged up a beam with a pulley at the top of the building and hoisted up a couple of barrels of bricks. When I had fixed the damaged area, there were still a lot of bricks left over, which I was able to load into one barrel. I went to the bottom, releasing the line that held the barrel full of unused bricks. However, that barrel of bricks weighed more than me. And before I knew what was happening, the barrel was coming down fast, jerking me up. I decided to hang on since I was too far off the ground already to jump, and halfway up, I met the barrel of bricks coming down. I received a hard blow to my right shoulder. I then continued to the top, banging my head on that beam, pinching my fingers in the pulley. Then the barrel of bricks hit the ground hard, and when it did, the barrel broke open, allowing the bricks to fall out. I was now heavier than the barrel, so I started to go down to the ground at high speed. Halfway down, what was left of the barrel was coming up fast and collided with my shins, causing severe injury. When I hit the ground, I landed on the pile of spilled bricks, causing several painful cuts and deep bruises. At this point, I must have lost my presence of mind because I let go of the line, allowing the barrel to fall back down fast, giving me another blow on my head, causing a concussion, which ended up with me in the local hospital. I respectfully request sick leave. This man had a servant's heart, but from an earthly perspective, it backfired. Will everything work out if I have a servant's heart, you ask? Not necessarily in the way the world perceives things working out. But from God's perspective and his purpose for you, choosing to respond by faith to your Heavenly Father's work of conforming you to the image of his Son, that will yield spiritual fruit and blessing in this life, as well as heavenly blessing in eternity. And by the measure of eternity, what God says is important, you can be sure having a servant's heart is worth it, because we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are their called according to his purpose. Last Sunday, Pastor Dave, in his message on Job's lament, said that when you suffer, you would love to know the why of why you're suffering. And then he went on to say, God may often withhold the why so that we will learn the grace of trust in the dark. And trust in the dark is the sort of trust that in the long run brings us closest to him, makes us most like Jesus. That was the end of Dave's quote. And after all, isn't that what God has promised he is doing with his children? Conforming you and me to the image of his Son. I want to share with you a few of my trust in the dark moments. Wondering why, yet trusting my Heavenly Father, when my father suddenly died. We were rebuilding a fractured relationship, and it was really going well, and he had a massive heart attack. Or when our son had a horrific, almost life-ending motorcycle accident. Or inexplicably allowing cancer to invade my body. Now, my suffering is nothing compared to some of what you have suffered or suffering even now. And yet, what's encouraging to me is, even in my current situation with cancer, God has been using several of you who have their own trust in the dark moments going on. You have encouraged me. Your servants' hearts reflect the kindness and love of Jesus in caring for others in the midst of your own health crises. So thank you. But we still wonder, how can any of these things be considered good? Well, Paul doesn't say that all things are good. He says that God takes all things and works them out for good in our lives. What Paul acknowledges is that the believer who loves God, walks by faith, that believer can know that his or her heavenly Father will and does take all things and will use them to conform us to his Son's image, which is what Paul describes as good. Here's a paraphrase of what one commentator in the book of Romans wrote about this passage of Scripture. God is ever at work to reproduce the image of Christ in believers. All that now comes into our lives, he uses for our good to further that glorious goal. His aim for us is not to make us happy, materially prosperous, or famous, but to make us Christ-like. He now uses all things, the sad as well as the glad, the painful as well as the pleasant, the things that perplex and disappoint us as well as the things we eagerly strive and pray for, to further his eternal purpose for us. In his infinite wisdom, he knows what is needed to bring about that transformation. That's God's purpose for you and me. He takes all things in your life to mold you and form the image of Christ in you. So with your natural abilities, your personality, your spiritual gifts, you display Jesus through your life, serving others, caring for others, loving others, as only you can. And through that, your Heavenly Father is glorified. Father, thank you. Thank you for your promise of conforming us to your Son's image. Thank you for the way you work through all things. In our mind, they may be bad. In this world around us, we suffer. They may be awful. And yet you can take even the worst possible thing and use that to mold us, to prepare us, to have us be better able to reflect the servant's heart that reflects your Son's life. Thank you for that. Thank you for your mercy, your grace, your goodness. And above all, you are sovereign. You are in control. And as sovereign, you choose to let things come into our lives that we don't understand necessarily. But then you use it to do something eternal, something good, something far beyond what we could imagine or think. We thank you for that. We thank you for all those things in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, don't tell Dave I let you out so early, okay? But do use the time to fellowship with one another and enjoy the time together. God bless.